Welcome to Doc Talk. It is me, Allison Marsheen, your host. And before I share and introduce our guest for today, I'd first like to invite everybody who is listening to, well, first of all, if you've subscribed to this podcast, I want to thank you for doing that. If you know people who could benefit from the information on this podcast, please share it with them. Please encourage them to subscribe. And I also want to encourage you to join and follow the Doc Talk Venturing Beyond a Master's. That's Doc Talk : Venturing Beyond a Master's Facebook page, where I'll post updates on episodes and just some inspirational information there as well. In fact, I want to encourage you to go there today because I have put up a survey of sorts. I'm trying to come up with a name, a good name for a community group, a group that is a private group where people who do follow this particular page can go in and actually comment and start conversations. And the intent is just to make a collaborative community where people from all different walks of life, all different doctoral programs, people who haven't started programs and they just have questions they want to ask of people who are in programs or who have completed programs, I want them to have a place to do that. So what I'm going to do on the Doc Talk Venturing Beyond a Master's page is I am going to list some ideas that I have, and I'd like you just to give me your feedback. Just let me know which of the ones I post up there you like. And if you have a better idea or you have one that is more succinct and more to the point, please share it in the comments. I would love to hear from you. With that said, let's introduce Dr. Lisa Ruttner. So today is part two of Dr. Ruttner's story. And in this particular episode, she is going to be sharing with us her journey as an adult learner. She loves being an adult learner. You can hear that in her voice, and you can hear the enthusiasm and excitement in her voice as she shares that with us. She also explains in some good detail, or describes in good detail, the process that she went through for selecting her program. What were her criteria? What was she looking for in a program? So I know that's going to help a lot of people out there just to hear this portion. And finally, she shares with us her own personal learning disability, and she offers encouragement to people at the doctoral level, folks who've earned their master's degrees. Perhaps, you know, this is good for anybody, really, even if you're not going for a doctoral degree, or, you know, you're an older adult learner and you have decided over time that you just want to go get your bachelor's degree. Finally, you know, you have time in your life to do it and you just want to do it. So her encouragement is for adult learners who have learning disabilities who might not think that they should pursue that particular goal of theirs because of some sort of, as she calls it, learning deficit is kind of looming over them. So listen to her. This is great. I really enjoyed chatting with her. She's originally from New York, and you could probably pick up that in her voice. And just listening to her reminds me of all the years that I spent living not too far from the city myself. So she's very exciting to listen to. I love the accent, and I like her candidness and her openness about what she shares. So let's take a listen to Dr. Ruttner in episode 8.
Welcome to Doc Talk, where we discuss all things doctoral. Been there, done that? Then we want to hear from you. Want to be there? Want to do that? Then this is the place to be. Still trying to figure it all out? Yeah, so am I. So come on, let's do this. Let's venture beyond a master's.
Let me ask you, can you share what you enjoyed most about your program? You shared a little bit about the early, maybe not necessarily questioning what you'd gotten yourself into, but that kind of rocky start, but I'm sure there was something about your program that really really had an impact on you in a positive way.
As an adult, I love to learn. And learning and using research, I like to conduct research. I like to go looking for things and find things. And this program lends you to having to do a lot of research, to learn new things that, you know, how do you read a journal article? I never read a journal article. I didn't even know what one was until I really got into the program. And I said, you know, at the very beginning, you expect me to do this? I can't read this journal article. I don't even know what it says. But after doing it, now I could look at a journal article and just rip it apart instantly. So it's just that new knowledge and how you apply it really kept me going.
Gotcha. And how did you select your institution of choice, the Grand Canyon University? How did you decide on where you wanted to study?
The first thing I wanted was something online. So I had to look at all the different online. I wanted special education. So that's a very, you know, select type of a discipline. So when I went learning and went researching, I then found several different schools. Then I looked at the program itself. Then I compared what the program and how it was explained through what I found on the internet, which program would best suit my needs and how I would go about it. Then I started asking some people and found that there was somebody here in my local town that was attending Grand Canyon. So I reached out to her and I spoke to her about it, and you know, she told me she earned her master's degree from Grand Canyon. I think she also got her bachelor's degree from Grand Canyon, and that she just loved the school. And I said, okay. So when I went through this type of analysis, Grand Canyon came up being the top contender. I also looked at administration requirements. What does each school require me to do? And what is included in the program itself. And Grand Canyon hit everything for me and what I needed.
Okay.
So it's just a process of elimination, but as a learner, you have to know what you're looking for.
I just say I have a list of a few or several criteria that, fit your lifestyle, your... Yeah, I mean, if the online thing works, and they've got what you want, and maybe even if the price is right, having some criteria laid out before you start your search. And I guess most importantly, like you talked about, was they offered what you were passionate about studying.
Yeah.
Digging deeper into. Let's see. So you talk about, in our early correspondence, you mentioned something about Chapter 4. Tell us about Chapter 4.
Chapter 4 I found to be the most challenging. I know learners say the literature review is so hard. It's 30 pages of just that one section. They don't know how to set it up. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to do that. When you're writing your literature review, you're synthesizing what all of the literature says about your topic. So that, to me, was not a struggle. When you're looking at Chapter 4, that gets into the very smallest, minute detail of how you analyzed your data and found your results, identified your results, and then how you had to report it. And it breaks it down to the smallest little thing you did. For me, I hand-coded all of my war data. Most people don't hand-code. And that's only if you're doing qualitative. I am not a quantitative person. I do not know anything about how to do quantitative research.
Okay.
I don't know how any of that works. From a qualitative standpoint, you really have to know your data because you're looking at the words and you have to find the similarities and you really have to dig deep. It is extremely intensive. It is very time-consuming. It took me 8 weeks from the time I collected my data till I completed chapters 4 and 5.
Wow.
And that was transcribing everything and looking at the charts and looking at the work and writing it up. And then the funny thing was I did have a peer that I worked with.
Okay.
And during my spring break, that whole entire week, all I did was write chapter 4. And I sent it to her. And she sends it back to me with a question mark that says, "What is this?" And I called her up and I said, "I don't know. Because I don't know how to write this. I don't know what I'm doing." So she gets a good laugh out of the fact that I had no idea what I was doing and sent her such a mess. And she said, "I know I was not enrolled in a class at a time. You are allowed to take that time off with a good reason so that you could follow through and complete your work." And what I did is she told me, she goes, "Call your chair."
Hmm.
And I didn't think my chair would talk to me because I'm on break. And she said, "Just call her, she'll talk to you." And my chair did. And my chair and I had a Zoom session and she explained to me everything that I was doing. And she looked over my chapter 4 and her first things were, "Oh my, yeah, we have to redo this whole entire chapter." But she explained it to me and talked me through everything in the way it needed to be set up. And from there, I got it. I went back to work and knocked it out.
Wow. So this peers and chairs are very, they're like lifelines, really. A good
yes.
chair, a good chair and a good peer.
yes. And you want critical. A peer that has graduated from the school you are attending.
Also,
you want somebody that went through the process, that knows the process you're going through, that knows the school's expectations, and that knows this way you have a really solid template, knows the template, understands the criteria of the rubric, and all of that.
Okay, so the peers.
So your peers should have graduated from your school. And that's not to say somebody else, that's not to say I couldn't help somebody else at another school, because a dissertation is a dissertation, the chapters are the chapters, the reporting is the reporting. And that's not to say that I could not provide support to somebody who is not a Grand Canyon student, because I have lent my knowledge to others, but it just makes it easier.
Okay. Yeah, that would seem to make sense. Somebody who's been through the fire before you can kind of guide and direct and and support
yes.
you as you go
yes.
through. So
yes.
Would you like to comment, Dr. Ruttner, on the phrase, "I have a doctorate ABD"?
I have a problem. You do not have a doctorate if you are ABD. you don't. Because you didn't graduate.
Right.
You didn't graduate. You cannot be called doctor. So there it shouldn't even be something in existence.
The phrase
you didn't graduate. You're not, I mean, ABD is nothing. You took classes. You actually should be more of an educational specialist than a doctorate because you're not.
So have you heard anyone you throw that term around, that phrase?
No, I haven't. No, either the individuals that I know that have their doctorates go by doctor. they have their doctorates. I have not come across anybody who says, well, I'm a doctorate, but I'm ADD. Because those individuals actually know they're not. They know that they cannot hang a shingle outside that says, Dr. So-and-so.
Gotcha. So word to the wise, advice to advice to folks out there, don't say you have a doctorate, ABD, right?
Yeah, you don't. You don't. Until you have that diploma in hand, or until the dean signs off on your dissertation, like I was told by my committee, you can call yourself doctor because you just defended your dissertation. In reality, the dean didn't sign it. So I'm technically not a doctor, but I am because I'm done. There's nothing more I need to do.
Yeah, okay. So just when you're waiting on that signature, you can feel that you've earned that. But it's not until the signature is on there that it's official.
Well, that makes it official. When I went back to work in August of 2018, I'd already defended my dissertation. I was done. There was nothing more for me to do. So I went back to work and I said, I am now Dr. Wettner. And that was it. Because there was nothing more for me to do. And my chair had told me, that's allowed. Just don't put it in formal writing until you get the dean's signature.
Okay. All right.
So I couldn't sign anything. I could not sign anything, Dr. Lisa Wettner. But I could, my students were calling me Dr. Wettner because it was there.
Gotcha. So there is some protocol when it comes to these things. Makes sense.
Absolutely.
Makes sense. Well, let me ask you. I got a couple more questions before we finish up here. But I wanted to ask you if you wouldn't mind answering, because you've described your profession before you wanted to usher in a career change to pursue that dream of yours of being a teacher. You spent a lot of time. It sounded like you had a full career in the financial planning arena. How old were you, Dr. Wettner, when you decided to start your program?
As a doctoral learner?
Yes.
How old was I? 50? Let's see. How old? All right. I have to think back.
Oh, yeah. Take your time.
I was... Okay. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know. I am 58 now. So I've been done 2 years. 58 would be 56. I was 52 and a half years old, I would assume.
Yeah.
53, something like that. Yeah, it was in 2015 when I started.
Gotcha.
March of 2015. So
yeah,
I was in my early 50s.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's important for folks to hear that. I mean, in my opinion, early 50s is not quote unquote old. The older I get.
No, I actually, when I went to residency, I met people in their 70s pursuing a doctorate degree.
Yeah.
Because they always wanted to do it, never could.
I think that's all.
You know, at my age, I have a whole life ahead of me still. I'm still young enough to do whatever I want.
That is an awesome attitude. The older I get, the younger old ages older than me sound. So when I hear early 50s, I think, wow, that's not old at all. And I'd agree with you. You do have a lot more to live. And I think it's excellent for folks to hear that it's never too late.
In my opinion, it's never too late to earn a degree. I did not earn my bachelor's degree until 30 years after I graduated from college.
Mm.
I started college. Mm-hmm. I played around a lot. Ended up getting married, divorced. I went total circles, got into the financial service industry, and at that time, college was not required. You could never get to where I had risen to without a college degree today. Back then, it wasn't required. So I was able to build a successful career without a college degree until I started to say, well, I'm tired of this. I'm bored of this. Going to work is no longer fun. I'm going on. I'm going to leave the industry, relinquish all of my titles, and start a whole new life. And that's what I did.
That's outstanding. So just to finish up, I wanted to ask if you'd share a little bit about, you shared this in our correspondence, one of two things that you haven't shared yet about yourself, and the piece about learning. You shared a little about learning and you as an individual. I'd like for you to touch on that for our listeners.
Absolutely. I feel that if anybody who puts their heart and soul into earning a doctorate degree can do so, and they can write a dissertation. And the reason why I say that is I grew up with undiagnosed learning disabilities, because back then the IDEA was not around, IEPs were not written, the type of evaluations weren't done when I was in school. So I had to learn how to compensate for my processing and reading deficits. And going through this program taught me that just because I do have a learning disability, I'm well aware of the fact I have a learning disability. As a matter of fact, when I was pursuing my bachelor's degree, I had a teacher, even one of the professors, talk to me about it. And she goes, I knew you had a learning disability from the get-go, from just the way we're kind of talking and going through things. And I said, I do. And I said, and it went undiagnosed. So I had to learn to compensate for everything. I grew up being told there's nothing wrong with me, you're just lazy, and people didn't understand I couldn't read. Putting that into perspective now, earning a doctorate degree, I had to teach myself. And that's why I say it is extremely important to have a sounding board, somebody who could talk you through things, because there are so many challenges when you're going on and pursuing a degree. There are so many frustrating moments where I just sat back and said, I just don't get this. And there were words that my chair used where she would just spell the word to me so that I had it, so I knew what she was talking about, but she wouldn't define it. So I would say, okay, as soon as I hung up a call from her, I looked up the word, learned it, and added it to my vocabulary. Hmm. And I felt that, you know, afterwards, when I met with my chair after I had graduated, I shared with her my story. And she said, I never would have known. I never would have guessed that from you.
Wow.
And she goes, you covered it so well. And I said, I have to. I didn't want her to think any less of me, that there were things I just didn't understand at all.
Gotcha.
And as a learner, if you know that you have certain weaknesses, embrace them. Don't let them stop you.
Sounds like you're spoken like a true person who has an emphasis in special education. I don't know what you focus on, but it sounds like they're connected, your personal life story to what you have decided to focus on and enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, what a story. Wow. Well, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that is very important, that and the idea that it's never too late to start something in life, something new, something that's been on the back burner perhaps even for a length of time, are very important for folks to hear. So I thank you. Thank you for sharing those.
You're welcome. I hope somebody who might be listening has a a weakness, a deficit, and don't let it stop you. Embrace it and move on.
Yeah. Great advice. Thank you so much. It's been...
Oh, you're welcome.
This has been fun. I've learned a lot. that's what I was... I'm hoping to do with each conversation with everybody to take in and learn and ask questions, because I know there are other people out there who have got the same questions that I have, and what you've provided today has been useful. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you are welcome. I've enjoyed this.
Oh, yeah.
I've enjoyed this immensely.
This is your host, Allison Marchine, and I'm so glad you were here. And I'm looking forward to the next time. Let's do this again.